Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And while the foolish virgins were going to buy oil for their lamps, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is our text. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. When the bridegroom comes, he finds only 5 wise virgins ready to meet him, the other 5 foolishly out shopping for oil. This, Jesus says, is what it will be like. For now, that's what it will be, but for now, it's like this, like 10 virgins, the church on earth, left standing or sitting or waiting, lamps in hand. Maybe it's 10 bored virgins. Maybe it's 10 anxious virgins. Maybe it's 10 ready to give up virgins. The bridegroom delays. The church waiting. Feeling perhaps a bit like a bride left at the altar, or feeling a bit like an abandoned husband, or feeling a bit like a widow pining for her deceased. Years pass. Where is he, this bridegroom of ours? The Old Testament church waiting for the day of the Lord, as we heard from the prophet Amos. The New Testament church, us, waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why the delay? When will the silence be broken? Where is the cry? Behold, the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Is he really coming back? We've heard promises before, and we've been disappointed. We've known the loneliness of waiting for someone who never returns, the broken-hearted bride who was abandoned, the children whose mother or father suddenly died and left them alone, the man whose close friend refuses to speak with him. And we fear that it might happen again. Or perhaps we are the promise breaker. Maybe we are the liar or the adulterer. We know unfaithfulness from the inside. It's so difficult to believe anyone, so difficult to trust anyone. It's difficult even for us to believe the words of our Lord. We won't be disappointed again, we say. So we're skeptical of every promise, skeptical even of this promise. The second coming, we think, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, I hope that it's true, but it has been a long time coming, don't you know? The world, the devil, and our sinful nature create this doubt. Repent. Do not be deceived. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Yes, he is a man like us, but a man without sin. He speaks like us, but his words are utterly true. He promises like we do, but he is ever faithful. We've heard and made such promises before, but we've never heard a promise like this one, a promise made by a person like this, by a man who is not only a man, but is also the good and gracious God. The kingdom of heaven will be like this parable. It will happen. Jesus, the bridegroom, will come. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. All of them. 10 tired virgins, here, maybe, in these pews, possibly, struggling to stay awake even for an hour, like the disciples sleeping when we should be watching, worn out, exhausted, bodies failing, some falling into this final sleep, the sleep of death, our loved ones sleeping in their graves, unable to be roused, dead before our Lord's return. But even the sleep of death can't keep them or us, if we should join them, from waking at the bridegroom's return. We believe that all, wise and foolish, living and dead, all will be raised by the midnight cry. In Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, addresses the question of those who die before our Lord's return. God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. We mourn, but we mourn with hope. Our grandparents, our parents, our children, our beloved spouses, they won't be left out when the bridegroom returns. Christ was raised. So shall our loved ones be who believed in him, and we with them on the last day at that cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." But maybe we say, "I've got plenty of time. He will come like a thief in the night. He will come suddenly, unexpectedly, without warning. How long will it be before he comes?" We don't know. It's not a matter of arithmetic. It's not a matter of algebra. It's not a number for us to figure out. Those who mark their calendars, those who announce the date, will disappoint and be disappointed every time. An unknown day, an unknown hour, month, year, millennium, all unknown. But don't grow lazy. Don't grow discouraged. The day draws near. Soon, and if not soon, then now. Our Lord will come. He will come in his own time and not ours. He will come not by our votes, not by our plans, not by our preparations, but by his own gracious will and his own good timing. We can no more bring his return than the virgins could make the bridegroom appear. When will it strike midnight? If only we could watch the clock. If only we could count the ticking of the hand, like kids trying to stay awake until their parents get back. But we can't. So here we are, 10 virgins in the church, waiting for the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. How much oil is enough? How much faith do we need? If only we could measure it out and make sure that we've got plenty. But not knowing when, not knowing how much, thinking there may be plenty of time, we are tempted to say, "We'll get what we need later. No need to worry now. Tomorrow will be soon enough. Why bother today?" we say. "Besides, I'm too busy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Repentance can wait." That's the temptation that faces us, placing the pleasure of the moment, placing the needs of this time ahead of eternity. A foolish virgin, you might say, thinking to play in another's bed before the bridegroom returns. Have we entertained such thoughts? Are we tempted by such things? Are we those who might say, "I've got time, I can enjoy the sin today"? No one needs to know. No one needs to know that I'm flirting with someone besides my spouse. No one needs to know that I'm looking at filth. No one needs to know that I'm checking out the neighbor. In our secret struggle with sin, we think we have time. Time before our Lord returns. Time to put our messes right. Time to fix what we've broken. Time to make up for what we've done wrong. But you don't have time. That's the lesson of this parable. You can't afford to put this off. Confess your sin today. We can't control our Lord. We aren't masters of his schedule. We can't put him off till tomorrow, and we can't find a way to kind of work our sin or our unbelief or our repentance around his coming, as if he were a house guest whom we could schedule at our convenience. When our Lord comes, he's not going to ask when it would be good for him to come. We can't say, well, you know, Saturday will work very well. How about next week? Give me time to prepare. Now is the time to prepare. You can't pencil in a deathbed conversion or deathbed repentance. Repent now. Nor can you or anyone else believe for another. There is no saint, there is no spouse, there is no friend to whom you can turn on today or on the last day saying, give me some of the oil, for my lamp is going out. They won't be able to. Faith can't be borrowed, it can't be begged, it can't be bought. It can't be wired from Western Union. Faith is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit, through God's word, through the holy sacraments, through the gifts and the means that are here for you today, the Holy Spirit creates faith. Even infants believe for themselves. The little boy that was baptized here last Sunday, Julian, he believes for himself. He isn't saved by his mother's faith, but by his own clinging to Christ. And then the day of the Lord arrives. Then the midnight cry comes, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And we who are Christians, we who believe in Jesus, we who have been waiting and watching and praying, hearing that cry, we say, thank goodness. Thanks be to God. Truly, I say to you, the bridegroom did come. Your sin has already been judged. Your punishment has already been paid. There, on the cross, by Jesus. So everything now, everything that we experience in this time is an anticipation of the last day. A getting ready for the wedding feast, a looking forward to that great feast that is to come. And we hear the verdict of the last day ahead of time. Christ, the bridegroom, is here. And he pronounces the verdict. He draws you forward to what is to come. He says, I forgive you. Your doubt, your unfaithfulness, your broken promises, all of it I forgive. I take them. I, your bridegroom, take your sin, and I, your bridegroom, give you myself. Your sin belongs to me now, and I have given myself up for you, the bride, the church. I have made you pure and spotless. I have died for you, and I have risen for you, so that you too might rise when the cry comes. Is your lamp running dry? Are you feeling empty? A smoldering wick I will not quench. Here is oil, Christ says, oil for your lamps, oil overflowing. Here is my forgiveness. Go and sin no more. Go and wait and watch and pray. Don't fear the return of Christ. Don't dread the stroke of midnight. Our Lord provides you with what you need to meet him. Christ gives himself to you. So you come out to meet the bridegroom with his own forgiveness, covered in that forgiveness. You come out to meet the bridegroom with the faith that he himself has given to you and poured into your heart. The day draws near. Thank God. You, dear Christian, whatever the foolishness of the past may be, you are the wise virgin with the flask of oil that never diminishes and never runs out because it is filled by your Christ. You may be weary and worn out with waiting, yes, but our Lord comes for you. The midnight cry will bring relief and not fear. Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him, come to meet you. Enter into the marriage feast. This is the hour of salvation. To you the door is open. To you Jesus says, I know you, enter into my joy. And here we have a little taste of that joy. Here we have, in part, what awaits us in eternity. A little foretaste of the feast that is going to come. A little foretaste of the feast to keep us going, to keep us waiting, to keep us watching, to keep us faithful. Food for today, and hope for tomorrow. On this altar is that foretaste of the marriage feast. Poor though it may look, it is a slice of what is to come. The kingdom of heaven is here, in our midst, for Christ is here. His body here given for you, his blood here shed for you. Eat, drink, rejoice, let your lamp be filled. His word spoken to you, his forgiveness here filling your ears. Believe it and receive what Christ gives, and may the oil be overflowing. The same kingdom that our Lord will bring finally and decisively when he returns, it's already ours. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen.